Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Midland couple endows $10 million for UT Athletics. Donation is largest endowment to a named athletics director in the nation. The University of Texas at Austin is the recipient of the largest endowment to a named athletics director in the nation, courtesy of a Midland couple. Lois and Richard Folger provided a $10 million endowment to create the Lois and Richard Folger Athletics Director Endowment to provide perpetual flexible funding for non-salaried strategic use, empowering the athletics director to launch new initiatives and enhance the excellence of Texas athletics for years to come. Richard Folger, who earned a bachelor's degree in business administration in 1981 and a bachelor of science degree in 1984, is the managing general partner of Colbridge Partners Limited, a private investment partnership. Lois Folger, who earned a bachelor of science degree in 1984 and a master's degree in science in 1995, is the founder and president of Folger Energy, an independent oil and gas company. Quote, this gift will support student athletes in their pursuit of academic and athletic excellence, end quote, said the Folgers in a statement announcing the endowment. Quote, it is important that Texas athletics continues to set a national standard for integrity and provide exceptional game day experiences and lifelong connections for our students, alumni, and Longhorn fans worldwide. We believe strongly in UT's leadership and know that this investment is important to the future success and growth of the state of Texas and its flagship university, end quote. This is the Folger family's third endowed chair position following the Lois and Richard Folger leadership chairs in the Petroleum and Geosystems Engineering Department and the Dean's leadership chair of the McCombs School of Business. Most recently, Richard served as chair of the President's Development Board and Lois as chair of the Cockrell School of Engineering's Advisory Board, helping launch the $6 billion What Starts Here campaign, the most ambitious fundraising effort in the history of the University of Texas at Austin and the state of Texas. Quote, the legacy of excellence of Texas athletics has inspired many of us, including Lois and Richard Folger. They know the role that athletics play in elevating the entire university by contributing to the vibrancy of campus, connecting Longhorn Nation, and providing incredible opportunities for student athletes, end quote, said UT President Jay Hartzell in a statement. Quote, we are extremely grateful for the Folgers' longstanding generosity to the university and excited to see how Chris Delcant, UT Director of Athletics, will utilize these resources strategically to improve the support of our student athletes, generate more passion for our university across the student body, position our former student athletes for post-UT success, and provide a laboratory for our students and faculty with interests in sports, end quote. Texas man jailed 15 years for producing child porn. A 60-year-old Ward County man was sentenced Monday in a federal court in Pecos to 15 years in prison for production and possession of child pornography, according to the Department of Justice. Elroy Wilkerson was arrested on November 17, 2022, after a complaint alleging he had been taking nude photos of a minor at his home in Monahans, according to court documents. The Ward County Sheriff's Office executed a search warrant of his residence and seized six cell phones. Homeland Security Investigations, HSI, Midland found, quote, 36 confirmed images of child pornography of the victim, as well as two videos in which the victim is seen nude, end quote, according to court documents. In April, Wilkerson was found guilty in a jury trial on one count of production of child pornography and one count of possession of child pornography. Quote, this 15-year federal prison sentence sends a clear message that those who exploit and prey on our children for sexual gratification will face severe consequences, end quote, said U.S. Attorney Jaime Esparza for the Western District of Texas. Quote, I commend the jury for their decision to justice and decision to defend this defendant guilty on both charges. I also recognize and appreciate the successful investigative efforts of our local and federal law enforcement partners, end quote. Chamber's State of Education tops community calendar. City's free microchip clinic. Midland Animal Services is offering free microchip clinics for the month of September 1st through 30th for cats and dogs. Clinic hours will be from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday. No appointment is required. Upon your arrival at 1200 North Fairgrounds, park in the designated spots, 1 through 5, on the north end of the parking lot, and call 432-685-7420. Midland Animal Services staff will come to your car for check-in. Closed Labor Day. City of Midland offices will be closed on Monday in observance of Labor Day. Below is the schedule for solid waste collection for the week of September 4th through 9th. Monday closed. Tuesday, Monday regular trash pickup, cart areas included. Wednesday, Tuesday regular trash pickup, cart areas included. Thursday regular trash pickup, cart areas included. Friday regular trash pickup, cart areas included. Source, City of Midland. Midland ISD District 7 Representative. The deadline for candidates to file for the special election to elect a trustee to fill the remainder of the term for District 7 has been extended to Wednesday. Interested candidates are invited to note the new timeline and adjust filing plans accordingly. For more information, visit midlandisd.net/board and click on Special Election, November 2023, or email cynthia.mcnabb@midlandisd.net. The election will take place on November 7th along with the school bond. Community Calendar. State of Education featuring Stephanie Howard, Wednesday, September 7th, 6th, Convention Center. The Phyllis and Bob Cowan Performing Arts Series presents Animaniacs in concert September 9th, Shap Center. Air Show September 9th through 10th. St. Anne's Family Fair and Carnival September 28th through October 1st. National Night Out October 3rd. Make a Difference Day Annual Fall Community Cleanup October 7th. 2023 WTX Women Professional Women's Symposium October 11th through 12th. Pink in the Park October 14th, Centennial Park. Reporter Telegram School Bond Forum, October 18th at Midland College. LHS Dolls Annual Charity Golf Tournament, October 21st, Hogan Park. LHSDolls.com. Cruise for a Cause Car Show, October 28th, Horseshoe Pavilion. Quote, Love Comes First, An Evening with Jen and Barbara Bush, end quote, November 7th, Petroleum Club. Regular events, Rescue Runners, 8 through 10 a.m., 1st and 3rd Saturdays, Midland Animal Shelter. Gentle Healing Yoga for Cancer-Impacted People, noon and 5:30 p.m., Monday, Yoga Sanctuary, 4202 Dawn Circle, 79707. Upcoming meetings, Planning and Zoning, 3:30 p.m., Tuesday, Council Chamber, City Hall, 300 North Lorraine Street. Important election dates, October 10th, last day to register to vote. October 18th, Reporter Telegram School Bond Forum at Midland College. October 23rd, first day of 2 weeks of early voting. October 27th, last day to apply for a ballot by mail. November 3rd, last day of early voting. November 7th, election day and last day to receive ballot by mail. City hires firm to investigate animal's death. The City of Midland has retained an outside firm to conduct an investigation of an animal euthanized at the Midland Animal Shelter prior to an owner being able to pick it up. The city said the incident took place August 12th. One of a series animal services incidents that has resulted in animals dying or being injured prior to an adoption or planned euthanasia. They include: on June 8th, a bulldog pit bull mix died in the transport compartment on an animal services vehicle. The animal had been in the compartment at least an hour, according to information provided by the City of Midland. Later during the summer, another animal died in the, quote, Sallyport, end quote, area at the shelter. In August, a stray dog that was taken into Midland Animal Services and was discovered to have had chemical burns on its back. The dog, Lily, was later pulled from the shelter by a representative from Fix West, Texas. The August 12th incident involved a dog named Luna, which the city stated, quote, appeared healthy, end quote, when brought in, but was exposed to a respiratory illness inside the shelter and was then put down. Quote, the City of Midland has retained an outside firm to conduct an investigation of the August 12, 2023 incident at Midland Animal Services, end quote, the city offered in a statement. Quote, we take the care of the animals in our facility very seriously, and we are committed to improving our processes where needed, end quote. About Lily. On Friday, Fix West Texas announced that Lily, the dog which dealt with chemical burns on its back, is recovering and has been adopted. Quote, we couldn't be more excited for Lily and her new family, end quote, Lily's new owner wrote, as indicated on the Fix West Texas Facebook page. Quote, she's still got some healing to do, but she's doing it in a home with lots of love, end quote. Fix West Texas not only pulled Lily from the shelter, but started a fundraising campaign for Lily's treatment. Fix West Texas Executive Director Karen Patterson reiterated on Thursday that her organization is, quote, here to help the city, end quote. And she hopes there are opportunities for the city to reach out so animal services officials and those from Fix West Texas can work together. Both entities work with similar budgets, $2.323 million for the Animal Services Division, while Patterson has estimated her organization's budget has climbed to around $2 million. Fix West Texas reports performing 750 spay or neutering surgeries, 3,200 vaccinations, and 150 adoptions a month. Fix West Texas will go to the shelter to, quote, pull, end quote, animals, including those scheduled to be euthanized. A Facebook post from August 23rd stated, FWT pulled 8 animals. Quote, we lack leaders who are educated and trained in shelter management, end quote, Patterson said, of the problems happening at animal services. Quote, we fired the one we had without a contingency plan. The city is like a business. If you don't have a backup plan, it is rough. End quote. Patterson was complimentary of New Midland City Manager Tommy Gonzalez and said he is what it takes, what it will take to employ, quote, people who are educated to run the shelter like the community expects it to be run, end quote. She said his transparent leadership style is something the community values and is, quote, refreshing to see, end quote. County releases full list of redesignated library books. Midland County released the list of books and volunteers that volunteers deemed obscene for children at the Midland County Library Centennial Branch this week. The volunteers sought to take the books out of sections for children and young adults and move them to adult sections. The Reporter-Telegram has attempted to receive the list of volunteers that were in attendance. On Friday, Precinct 4 Commissioner Diane Anderson sent the Reporter-Telegram an email saying that because of, quote, nasty, end quote, comments that were made on a post on the Reporter-Telegram Facebook page from the original story earlier this week, 6 of the women are afraid of attacks if their names were to be released. While 4 of the women gave permission to release their name publicly, Anderson said she does not believe it's best to provide their names. Below is a confirmed list of the titles that were taken from the children's and young adult sections of the library and moved to adult sections. The Cat's Pajamas by Daniel Wallace, Sam is My Sister by Rhodes Carter, Auntie Uncle Drag Queen Hero by Ellie Royce, The Hips on the Drag Queen Go Swish 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 by Lil Miss Hot Mess, Prince and Knight by Daniel Hawk Rainbow, A First Book of Pride by Michael Genhart, An Awesome Book of Love by Dallas Clayton, and Tango Makes 3 by Justin Richardson and Peter Parnell. Maiden and Princess by Daniel Hack and Isabel Galupo. Operation Marriage by Cynthia Chen Lee. Being You, A First Conversation About Gender by Megan Madison, Jessica Raleigh, and Andy Pashier. My Two Dads and Me by Michael Justin. Thomas Snowsuit by Robert Munch. Anti-Racist Baby by Ibram Kendi. Fred Gets Dressed by Peter Brown, Uncle Bobby's Wedding by Sarah Brannan, An ABC of Equality by Chana Janelle Ewan, Stamped for Kids by Jason Reynolds, Ibram Kendi. This book is Anti-Racist, 20 Lesson on How to Wake Up, Take Action, and Do the Work by Tiffany Jewell. It's Not the Stork, a book about girls, boys, babies, bodies, families, and friends by Roby Harris. Love is Love, an anthology The League of Super Feminists by Miriam Mall, A Quick and Easy Guide to Consent by Isabella Rotman, The Fire Never Goes Out, A Memoir in Pictures by Noelle Stevenson, Identity, A Story of Transitioning of Transitioning by Corey Mason, How to Be Ace, A Memoir of Growing Asexual by Rebecca Burgess, Flamer by Mike Carrato, Speak, the Graphic Novel by Laurie Hulse Anderson, This One Summer by Jillian Tamaki, Mariko Tamaki. FMH Foundation grant to help fix West Texas open $1.5 million clinic. A $100,000 grant from F. Marie Hall Foundation will help Fix West Texas move forward with a new clinic in West Texas. The nonprofit organization dedicated to increasing the quality of life for the pets will build a 10,000-square-foot building at 9507 West County Road 77 near Mid-Cities Church off State Highway 191. The organization's current facility is around 4,000 to 5,000 square feet, officials said. The organization's website states that the facility is expected to cost around $1.5 million. Quote, we are so excited to announce that the FMH Foundation has stepped up in a huge way to help us realize our dream of building a new Fix West Texas clinic so we can better serve our community, end quote. Fix West Texas reported on its Facebook page. Fix West Texas lists as its mission, quote, one in which everyone in our local community agrees will directly lower the animal shelter euthanasia and intake rates of dogs and cats in our West Texas community. We also want to make sure our local pet population is healthy by providing low-cost vaccinations and preventatives, end quote. The new facility will provide more exam rooms, a larger pet pantry, and space that helps FWT to conduct, quote, low-cost veterinary services, end quote. Currently, Fix West Texas performs 750 spay or neutering surgeries a month. The organization appears to be outgrowing its current facility inside Loop 250 in West Midland, 5203 Princeton Avenue, Suite 17. Fix West Texas reports performing around 3,200 vaccinations and 150 adoptions a month. The new space will allow two vets to do surgeries at a time, while current space limits the total number, said Karen Patterson, executive director of Fix West Texas. Patterson hopes construction can begin as early as next month. The organization is still waiting on structural drawings. She expects a groundbreaking in 4 to 6 weeks and that the organization will be able to move in by March 2024. Rig count inches lower for 8th week. Drilling activity continued to slump in the final week of August, but the ride down appears to have slowed. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said Friday the U.S. rig count is issued weekly since 1944, dropped by one rig to 631, the 8th consecutive weekly decline, the lowest level since February 2022, and 129 rigs fewer than the 760 reported last year. The number of rigs drilling for crude oil was unchanged at 512, 84 fewer than the 596 reported a year ago, and the lowest since February 2022. The number of rigs seeking natural gas inched down by one rig to 114, the lowest level since February 2022, and down 48 rigs from the 162 rigs drilling for natural gas a year ago. Texas dropped one rig to see 306 rigs at work across the state, 56 fewer than the 362 rigs at work this time a year ago. New Mexico held at 107 rigs for the week. West Virginia, 1, joined Texas as the other producing state to see a decline, while Colorado, 1, was the only producing state to see an increase. The Permian Basin also dropped one rig to see 319 rigs across the region, 23 fewer than the 342 counted last year. The Eagle Ford led the decline among the major producing basins, dropping two rigs during the week. Lee County, New Mexico, continues to be the most active county in the Permian, with 63 rigs, unchanged for the week. Eddy County, New Mexico, is the second most active with 42 rigs, also unchanged for the week. Martin County held at 37 rigs for a second week, Midland County reported 28 rigs, down one. Loving County extended its winning streak to a third week, adding two rigs for 27 at work within county lines. Reeves County reported 25 rigs, down two for the week. Ward County had 17 rigs for a second week, while Glasscock County reported 12 rigs for a third week, and Reagan County 11 rigs for a third week. Enverus Foundations, part of the Energy Focus software as a service firm Enverus, said its U.S. rig count reached as high as 697 during the week ended August 30th, a decrease of 6 rigs from the previous week's peak. The count is down 3% or 22 rigs in the last month and down 21% year over year. The U.S. count hit a pandemic low of less than 300 rigs in July 2020. Activity levels rose from that bottom through last October, when the rig recovery peaked at 897. As of August 30th, the count has dropped 200 rigs since the October peak. In the last week, one rig was added in the Anadarko Basin for a total of 48 running. The Permian dropped two rigs to 307. Other major basins dropped one rig each, leaving the Gulf Coast with 73. Appalachia with 42, the Williston Basin with 34, and the DJ Basin with 16. Midland couple endows $10 million for UT Athletics. Donation is largest endowment to a named athletics director in the nation. The University of Texas at Austin is the recipient of the largest endowment to a named athletics director in the nation, courtesy of a Midland couple. Lois and Richard Folger provided a $10 million endowment to create the Lois and Richard Folger Athletics Director Endowment to provide perpetual flexible funding for non-salaried strategic use, empowering the athletics director to launch new initiatives and enhance the excellence of Texas athletics for years to come. Richard Folger, who earned a bachelor's degree in business administration in 1981 and a bachelor of science degree in 1984, is the managing general partner of Colbridge Partners Limited, a private investment partnership. Lois Folger, who earned a bachelor of science degree in 1984 and a master's degree in science in 1995, is the founder and president of Folger Energy, an independent oil and gas company. Quote, this gift will support student athletes in their pursuit of academic and athletic excellence, end quote, said the Folgers in a statement announcing the endowment. Quote, it is important that Texas Athletics continues to set a national standard for integrity and provide exceptional game day experiences and lifelong connections for our students, alumni, and Longhorn fans worldwide. We believe strongly in UT's leadership and know that this investment is important to the future success and growth of the state of Texas and its flagship university, end quote. This is the Folger family's third endowed chair position following the Lois and Richard Folger leadership chairs in the Petroleum and Geosystems Engineering Department and the Dean's leadership chair of the McCombs School of Business. Most recently, Richard served as chair of the President's Development Board and Lois as chair of the Cockrell School of Engineering's Advisory Board, helping launch the $6 billion What Starts Here campaign, the most ambitious fundraising effort in the history of the University of Texas at Austin and the state of Texas. Quote, the legacy of excellence of Texas athletics has inspired many of us, including Lois and Richard Folger. They know the role that athletics play in elevating the entire university by contributing to the vibrancy of campus, connecting Longhorn Nation, and providing incredible opportunities for student athletes, end quote, said UT President Jay Hartzell in a statement. Quote, we are extremely grateful for the Folgers' longstanding generosity to the university and excited to see how Chris Delcant, UT Director of Athletics, will utilize these resources strategically to improve the support of our student athletes, generate more passion for our university across the student body, position our former student athletes for post-UT success, and provide a laboratory for our students and faculty with interests in sports, end quote.
Oil jobs wages grew strongly in first quarter, according to TXOGA. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Last year's robust oil and natural gas prices have retreated in the face of demand and economic uncertainties, but but Texas's oil and natural gas industry has continued to exhibit its strength. An economic analysis prepared by the Texas Oil and Gas Association found direct employment in the industry statewide rose 8.1% year over year from 445,000 jobs in the first quarter of 2022 to 482,000 jobs in the same quarter of 2023. During that same period, industry wages leaped 22% year over year from about $16 billion to $19.5 billion. The Texas Workforce Commission said earlier this month that natural resource and mining wages in its Midland Metropolitan Statistical Area, which includes Midland and Martin counties, reached nearly $1.3 billion in the first quarter. The MSA also added 4,000 jobs from July 2022 to July 2023 in the Commission's mining, logging, and construction sector, which includes oil and gas. Dean Foreman, TXOGA's chief economist, said the first quarter of the year was the eighth consecutive quarter in which employment grew, and the 8.1% rate stands out as among the strongest 15% of all quarters since 1990. In addition, he said the $19.5 billion in total wages was the industry's highest on record. Support activities for oil and gas operations led job gains in adding 15,000 jobs, which was a 16.3% year-over-year increase, and paid $3.5 billion in total wages, up 29% year-over-year. Other leading industry segments included drilling oil and gas wells, up 19.9% year-over-year in jobs, oil and gas pipeline construction, up 11.9% in jobs, and oil and gas machinery and equipment manufacturing, up 9.3%. Quote, the industry's record $19.5 billion in quarterly wages underscores its resilience amidst labor and cost challenges, Foreman told the Reporter-Telegram by email. Quote, while a reduced rig count could affect future growth, the most recent data highlight the indispensable role of oil and natural gas in fueling our modern society, and prospects of good news for Texas continue to look bright. End quote. Todd Staples, president of TXOGA, said the current decline in drilling activity is an expected response to uncertainties surrounding the Chinese and U.S. economies. Quote, the good news is Texas and the Permian Basin are well positioned to continue to lead. A strong Texas economy starts with a robust oil and natural gas industry. The world demand for Texas-produced energy is strong and evidenced by the growing exports of crude and refined product, along with LNG infrastructure development, Staples told the Reporter-Telegram by email. Staples cautioned that growth is not guaranteed, which is why he said it is critical to remain committed to developing policies that promote domestic production, keep jobs and benefits at home, and reduce the nation's reliance on foreign nations to meet its energy needs. The growth experienced in Texas is being seen elsewhere in the nation, noted Molly Dieterman, president of the Energy Workforce and Technology Council. Quote, the oil and gas industry continues to grow month after month, with an increased demand for skilled laborers. Last month, the U.S. oil field services and equipment sector increased by 4,300 jobs to its highest level since March 2020. While there are always fluctuations in rig counts, We remain bullish on the demand for oil and gas, Dieterman told the Reporter-Telegram by email. EY says oil and gas core asset amid energy transition. The story was written by Miller McEwen, oil editor. EY's annual E&P benchmarking and quarterly earnings analysis found several changes in 2022, and not all were fueled by the rise of commodity prices to eight-year highs. EY analysts studying the 50 largest publicly traded exploration and production companies, including Midland's Diamondback Energy and Permian Resources, found that the industry's ongoing focus on capital discipline and driving shareholder value has made the industry a core asset even amid the energy transition. The study found oil and gas companies have nearly tripled their return on a barrel of oil basis since 2014, earning $32.21 per barrel of oil equivalent compared to the $10 realized in 2014. EY identified three dominant themes in its latest benchmarking study. First, there was a clear recognition that oil and gas will continue to play an important role in the U.S. and global energy mix, and companies are prioritizing U.S. assets as core holdings in their exploration and production portfolios. Second, companies are investing in their futures with expanded capital budgets, but not at the expense of shareholder value. Third, ESG reporting and emissions management in particular continues to expand and improve, but this is about the ongoing battle to secure the social license to operate and a lens to optimize performance rather than as an attempt to win new and retain existing shareholders. Quote, even in the case of an accelerated focus on decarbonizing the energy system, there is a recognition that oil and gas will be needed for decades to come, Pat Jelinek, EY America's oil and gas leader, told the Reporter-Telegram by email. Quote, E&Ps have made significant efforts to improve the economics of U.S. oil and gas production while simultaneously improving environmental performance. When environmental performance, operational effectiveness, safety, and scale all improve together, it will help drive profitability, which is what we are seeing play out in the U.S. oil patch. In addition, the agility by which specifically unconventional onshore assets can be sped up and down allows for optionality as volatility emerges, end quote. The energy crisis of 2022 forced a realization for many on the longer-term necessity of oil and gas in the global energy mix for decades to come, Jelinek said in announcing the study. He added that the focus is now on how to manage oil and natural gas production through the energy transition. Quote, the energy system as a whole is changing. Oil and gas companies are defining and executing their strategy based on where they want to compete, he wrote. Strategies may vary, but oil and gas producers are showing they can be the best stewards of the U.S. resources under their control by investing in decarbonization efforts and increasing operational efficiencies, all while innovating and scaling newer technologies and business models, he added. Those technologies and business models can include carbon capture, differentiated gas, and hydrogen. The EY analysis revealed disciplined drilling plans by the company studied achieved positive organic reserves growth, with half of the capital spent seen in 2014 focused more on discovered and developed plays than new ones. A significant decline in exploration expenses was observed from $9.1 billion in 2014 to $2.3 billion in 2022. Yet, exploration and extension drilling added 3.9 billion barrels to oil reserves and 21.9 billion cubic feet of gas reserves, while only 3.2 billion barrels and 15.9 BCF were produced, showing that the sector continues to demonstrate organic growth and a capacity to maintain record levels of production for the medium term. Production costs actually decreased from $14.09 per BOE in 2014 to $12.56 per BOE in 2022, despite inflation, due in large part to technological advances and operational efficiencies gained. The studied companies recorded a combined $333 billion in 2022 revenues, surpassing the previous record of $217 billion recorded by the study group in 2014. Additionally, the EY analysis found impairments dipped to $1 billion, the lowest amount in the five-year study period, and payments of dividends and share repurchases by independent producers increased 210% from $19 billion in 2021 to $58.8 billion in 2022. Quote, U.S. oil and gas producers achieved something last year not done in recent years. Deliver both strong shareholder returns and organic reserves growth, said Herb Liston, EY America's energy and resources assurance leader. Quote, the sector has learned harsh lessons of past boom-bust cycles to improve the resilience of their core business by displaying significant capital discipline and prioritization of shareholder returns, core tenets that will serve them well as commodity prices fluctuate, end quote. Harold Hamm tells story of achieving energy independence. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Harold Hamm, founder and executive chairman of Continental Resources, was in Midland this week to talk about his company's entrance into the Permian Basin after acquiring Delaware Basin assets from Pioneer Natural Resources and plans for those assets. But as important to Hamm was discussing his new book, Game Changer, Our 50-Year Mission to Secure America's Energy Independence, which was released the 1st of August. Quote, what made all this possible, he said, referring to the shale revolution that has turned the U.S. into the world's largest oil and natural gas producer, was horizontal drilling. Quote, in my opinion, no one has told that story, and it had to be told. It's an amazing story of what it took and what it means, end quote. The book talks about the blood, sweat, and tears that went into helping triple U.S. natural gas production, nearly tripling oil production, and making the U.S. the largest oil and natural gas producer in the world. Quote, it's a holistic view of the shale revolution from its beginnings to where it is today and its impact not only on the industry but the world, said Hamm. He added that he would like to see the book in the hands of students to show them what we're doing and how we got here. He acknowledged being a bit nervous as the book was released. Quote, you never know what the readability will be, but there's been a lot of interest. It's been a bestseller so far, he said.
The group will also be judging the Barber Battle, featuring cash prize chances of $500 and $1,000 in the following categories: Student Battle, Fast Fade, Freestyle Design, King of Coz, Tag Team, and Best in the West. To purchase tickets and see a detailed schedule, visit bit.ly/3SHOICM. Sunday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. at 105 North Main. Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, August 31st, 2023. Happenings. Three things to do in Midland this weekend, September 1st through 3rd, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Throw popcorn one more time. The comedy crew at Summer Mummers wraps up season number 75 this weekend. Rascality on the Rig, or Oil's Wells That Ends Well, showcases a story of chaos buried under a sea of popcorn and good times. Tickets range from $20 to $40 and can be bought at mctmidland.org. Rules, attire tips, and more information about the event can also be found at that website. Friday and Saturday, 7:30 p.m. at 208 North Colorado Street. Peruse the market at the gardens. Only once a month, a market takes over Aldridge Gardens, known as Market at the Gardens. The collection of local vendors showcases small, homegrown businesses built on many different skills. Guests can expect items such as homemade jams and jellies, essential oils, clothes, jewelry, books, pet essentials, baked goods, all sorts of bath products, beauty items, and much more. No fee is needed for entry. Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 3300 North Fairgrounds Road. Watch the best of the West. Head over to the Bush Convention Center to check out the Best in the West Barber Expo, Volume 3, to see experience everything from classes to barber competitions. Well-known and award-winning barbers Christy Esgro, Jason Patridge, Antonio Diaz, and Philip Barreras will be educating anyone looking to elevate their skills. The group will also be judging the Barber Battle, featuring cash prize chances of $500 and $1,000 in the following categories: Student Battle, Fast Fade, What's Up with Midland by Morgan Taylor Thomas, At the Destination, Tejano Thirsty Thursday, September 7th, Friday Night Live, Desert Busted Radio, September 8th, Karaoke Night, September 14th, Friday Night Live, Monty Branham, September 15th. Open Mic Night, September 21st. Friday Night Live, Von Tez, September 22nd. Tall City Blues Fest, September 23rd. Bring Your Own Blues Open Jam, September 28th. Friday Night Live, Last Child, September 29th. At Earth, Body and Soul. Walk-in tarot reading every Tuesday. Walk-in Reiki energy clearing every Wednesday. Tea and tarot Friday. Aura photography Saturday. Soul doodling September 8th. Isui Reiki Level 1 certification class September 10th. Kitchen witchery September 29th. At Midland Community Theater, Rumors, September 8th through 30th. At Museum of the Southwest, Downtown Midland Farmers Market every Saturday, Septemberfest, September 29th through October 1st. At Tall City Brewing Company, geeks who drink trivia every Tuesday. Tall City Beer Run every Thursday. At the venue at Live Oak, the State Line Band Christianda, Thursday. Los Bravos de Ojinaga, September 14th. Sarah Hobbs, September 28th. At the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, West Texas Symphony, September 9th. Joe Coy World Tour, September 14th and 15th. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse Live in Concert, September 20th. West Texas Winds Fall Recital, September 21st. Key of G Live, September 24th. The Book of Mormon, September 27th and 28th. Fall Movie Preview 2023. Our 10 titles from A Hollywood Season Subject to Change by Michael Phillips of the Chicago Tribune. In the annals of fall movie previews, never has the phrase dates subject to change felt quite so obvious or so fraught. Contract negotiations between studios and the Screen Actors Guild and the Writers Guild of America remain at press time at an impasse, and the strikes continue. Dune 2, no longer a major late 2023 title, has been pushed back to March 2024. Will the studios tick more of its dominoes from there? Answer: unknown. Meantime, let's scan the ledger for some prospects already in the bag and ready for screens near you. Take 10, our list for the fall, in order of their release in theaters. Dates subject to change. 1. A Haunting in Venice, September 15th. Kenneth Branagh returns as Hercule Poirot and returns to the director's chair in this freely adapted version of a late and lesser-known Agatha Christie Halloween party. The cast this time includes Tina Fey, Michelle Yeoh, Jamie Dornan, and Kelly Riley of Yellowstone. 2. The Creator, September 29th. In the future, humans go to war against AI, and it's up to John David Washington to find and eliminate the Creator before the Creator has its way with the entirety of the human race. Director Gareth Edwards has made 3 good movies in a row: Monsters, Godzilla, and Rogue One. Let's go for the Grand Slam. 3. Killers of the Flower Moon, October 20th. In 1920s Oklahoma, a wealth of oil underneath the Osage Nation's government-imposed reservation land seeps into a true crime tale of murder, greed, and corrosive American values in Martin Scorsese's adaptation of the excellent David Graham nonfiction bestseller. Leonardo DiCaprio, Lily Gladstone, Robert De Niro, and Jesse Plemons take the leads. 4. Priscilla, October 27th. Writer-director Sofia Coppola adapts Priscilla Presley's memoir, Elvis and Me, for what may turn out to be the biopic of the season, as well as the latest proof of Coppola's singular filmmaking strengths. Kaylee Spaney and Jacob Elordi star as Priscilla and Elvis. The film made its world premiere recently at the Venice International Film Festival. 5. The Holdovers, October 27th, in New York and Los Angeles, November 10th, wide release. Paul Giamatti plays an imperious prep school instructor charged with overseeing a collection of outcasts over the school holiday. The director is Alexander Payne, who worked so well with Giamatti in Sideways. Here's hoping this one's the right kind of intelligent, witty, and heartwarming throwback to the epoch before Marvel. 6. The Marvels, November 10th. Speaking of Marvel, Brie Larson returns as Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, in the MCU's follow-up to the 2019 Captain Marvel. Expect wormholes, Kree problems, and fingers crossed, a show of directorial personality from the talented director Nia DaCosta. Teyonah Parris, Lashana Lynch, and Iman Vellani co-star. 7. The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, November 17th. What was Panem like 64 years before the messed-up reality series of a dystopia we knew and loved, hated in the Hunger Games movies? Well, they were Suzanne Collins' books before they were movies, and here's the first of the prequel adaptations. The cast includes Viola Davis, which is a very good start. 8. Napoleon, November 22nd. At his best, Ridley Scott is the reigning king of old-school, new-school Hollywood classicism, and this long-awaited portrayal of the keen military strategist and greedy acquirer of other people's territory should provide Joaquin Phoenix a fine and juicy role. Or will it be his Waterloo? The movies haven't had much luck with this Bonaparte fella. Time for a strike breaker. 9. Maestro, November 22nd. This Netflix biopic, streaming just soon enough after its theatrical release to prevent anything like actual crowds in actual theaters, stars Bradley Cooper and a controversial prosthetic nose in the role of composer and conductor Leonard Bernstein. Carey Mulligan co-stars as Felicia Montalegre, who married Bernstein in 1951. Their lives together and apart were defined largely by Bernstein's bisexuality. 10. Wish, November 22nd. Ariana DeBose is the voice, speaking and singing of Asha, the 17-year-old whose wish upon a star is so irresistible, it calls forth a doozy. She'll need it to deal with the sinister King Magnifico, voiced by Chris Pine, in Disney's new animated feature. A century in the making is how Disney's selling its latest screen princess. Guest Column. Building Unity by Landon Coleman, pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church. Last month, I shared 5 ways people destroy the unity of their church. This month, I want to be more like K-Love. That is, I want to be more positive and encouraging. Rather than talking about ways unity is destroyed, I want to talk about ways unity is built, established, and maintained in a church. So for those of you who want to do more than not destroy unity, here are 7 ways you can build, establish, and maintain unity in your church. First, become more like Christ. That may sound like an obvious Sunday school answer, but it's Paul's answer in Philippians 2, 1 through 11. The more your members have the mind of Christ, the more unified you will be as a church family. Second, deal with disagreements. Too often people try to sweep conflict under the church rug instead of handling disagreement in a biblical way. Matthew 18:15-20. If there is an issue between two people, deal with it and deal with it quickly. Third, refuse to gossip. Gossip is an issue that's easy to spot in others and easy to overlook in ourselves. We may pass it off as sharing concerns or sharing prayer requests, but if we participate in gossip, we are destroying unity in our church. Fourth, apply 1 Corinthians 13. I know most people think of the love chapter as a passage you're supposed to read at weddings, but the immediate context is clearly talking about the relationships we have in church, and love is essential for unity. Fifth, get busy with the mission. Too often church members are divided and fighting because they're not busy making disciples, as Jesus commanded. Matthew 28:18-20. Get busy making disciples, and odds are you won't have time to fight. Sixth, have realistic expectations. I'm talking about the expectations you have about other church members, particularly about your leaders. Every member of your church is battling indwelling sin, so expect conflict and be prepared to work through conflict. Seventh, be intentional about relationships. Relationships simply don't happen on their own. If you want to promote real unity in your church, you're going to have to go out of your way to build relationships with people you don't know.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.